Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? Success leaves footprints, and all too often we allow them to languish, remain where they are. Over a period of time, a lot of garbage comes in and covers it over. Does not mean that the event has not happened, but it does mean that sometimes we have to clear it away. We see this in many of our grave sites, and they become in disarray. And part of that is due to the fact that we don't keep the memory of those places alive. Sometimes it's a matter of necessity, because I find that in many places, we are subjected to, and when I say we are, I'm talking about all of America. Although the primary topic that we speak of has to do with the fact that we are talking about issues affecting Black people. But when we do so, we need to understand that they don't just affect Black people. There is no city limit, if you will, that protects anyone in this situation. And so we need to be cognizant of that. As we look at those people that are affected, it affects us all. Let's imagine for a minute that we have a football team, and maybe it's the greatest thing around, and the quarterback signs a contract saying, you cannot mention anybody else except me. All the credit for what happens comes to me. Now, notice in that there is something that we have omitted, criticism. I'm sure that he doesn't want to be criticized all the time. But you get a team, and the reason that I particularly like football is because everybody has a role on every play. Unlike baseball, when we talk about baseball, although everybody is involved, I don't always see them running. A ball goes to center field. The center fielder runs over and makes the catch. Not the right field or the left field. Usually it's just a central player. I like the fact that everybody has an assignment in football and everybody has to perform. Basketball is kind of a combination. As they're moving around, they have places that they're going, things that they're doing, objectives. Now, let me diverge from this for a minute since this topic of basketball came up. Yeah, I brought it up. And what we see, for so many years, there were no Black basketball players. I think now we are feeling the best teams we have ever felt in the history of the game. But when we look at it, why didn't we have them all along? Because myths were perpetrated. There were leading people that said Blacks will never play basketball. Why? Because they're not smart enough to dribble and come down the court. That has been proven wrong. We see it because people have had the opportunity to demonstrate the fallacy of what was taking place. Now, as we start this program, I want you to be aware of one thing. Many of you may have signed in using the link that we have on Amazing Black History, and I love you and appreciate you doing so. When we do open the microphones later in the program, and I get comments from you, suggestions, even disagreements, because we are adults. We can talk about things that we disagree with. The one thing that I do ask, because we have younger listeners as well, or at least I hope that we do have younger listeners on with us, is to keep it on a mature level. I don't need a bunch of cursing, and neither does anyone else. I don't think that it adds to the conversation. Those of you that have come to the program by way of the link, there's nothing that you need to do. But I want to advise you that when we open the microphones, I cannot see you on my dashboard. And that is the only difference between what's happening now and what will happen at the time that we open the dashboard, that we open the microphones. And in order to show on the dashboard, you need to call in this number. And please write this down for times when you may want this. And that number is area code 646. The telephone number itself is 668-8217. I'll give it again during the program, but it's 646-668-8217. That was a bunch of hooey when we said that black people don't have the intelligence to dribble a ball down the court and make a play. Was it proven? No. But many of the myths that we are faced with have not been proven either. Somebody dreams up something. I want you to remember this word, drapetomania. Drapetomania. And what is that? That's a mental disease. Mental disease. Now, I don't want you to get the impression that I am against mental health, because I'm not. I worked with people in the field, and I did so because I understood, I later began to understand that people can be affected. They're not crazy. They're just going through an episode. And something that does not have to last forever. If we have a flu, the cold, COVID, whatever we do, we are smart enough to seek the assistance of trained professionals. We go to the doctor. What says that you can never have a problem with your mind? Especially considering the fact that we are often subjected to so much that is beyond our control. When we look at what has basically been our neighborhood, now I will say this, we have people that are drastically opposed to black education, as we see, for example, in Florida with Governor DeSantis. Basically, he's saying that you don't have any contribution to history, and shut up and sit down. That's the end of the story, because I have spoken. Who? You don't know the story. What it is you are afraid of the benefits that come not just to me, but to the entire world, if you allow me stand where I came from. When I was young, anything that indicated that I may have African heritage was a source of shame. Why? Because our history books did not depict us in a favorable light. How did they do this? Well, the average history book at the time was 888 pages. That means the thing weighed a ton. And I didn't see myself in those history books. I saw people that dressed funny, knee breeches and powdered wigs and events that had taken place long time ago in a place far, far away. It didn't infect me. It didn't involve me. And so therefore, I say, why do I have to learn this? It wasn't until much, much later. And I'll tell you, one of the driving forces behind my even taking the slightest interest in it is my ultimate goal is to let people know who they are, what they are, in order that we can extract the best of them. I said extract the best of them, because what we're doing when we don't is we don't allow people to give us our best. We do not allow people to give us our best, particularly if they have black or brown skin. And that's important because we are not so full of everything except ourselves that we can hold back the best of us. We can't. We just can't. We claim to be the first in everything in America. And America is a great country, and I appreciate this great country that we live in. But we sometimes see flaws. And there's nothing wrong with having a flaw. Many times that's how we move on to greater things. Now, as we talk about this, this month, the program is dedicated to talking about race massacres and riots. Now, sometimes I want to make sure that we understand this principle. The Tulsa massacre is often referred to as the Tulsa riots, race riots. I picture a riot differently, but what happened? And part of the reason that it's called the race riot is because black people suffered all of the losses. What does that have to do with anything? Many people who have insurance policies, and certainly these people had insurance policies because they had some wealth worth protecting. They had wealth worth protecting. Some of the best homes in Tulsa were from black people. They had worked in the oil industries. Not only that, but because they could not be in other parts of the country, they were restricted to their own neighborhood. They spent their dollars in their own neighborhood. And by spending the dollar in their own neighborhood, they enriched themselves. We have a situation now where that is not the case. What benefit is that of white people? It allows other people to enter the society that we hold so dear. We say that everybody in America can become rich. Now, understand that rich is not necessarily a set amount of dollars. Rich is what we become when we fulfill our purpose. When I was younger, I didn't appreciate this. But now, if a child runs up to me with a wilted flower and said, "I've got a present for you," it becomes precious because I understand that that child is giving me what they consider to be valuable. That, my friends, is love. I could look at that and say, "Oh, it's just a handful of weeds," and that may be what it is. But we need to look at what is behind it. It's love. That kid does not have a bank account with a billion zeros in it. That kid is giving you what they have. We sometimes crush people's feelings, crush them, because we don't understand that it's the gift, not the dollar value of the gift. It's the sentiment and the belief and the love that comes with it. And I hope that when you give a gift, that that's how it comes, that it comes full of love. And so we need to understand that. Now, again, we talk about riots and other events that have taken place in this country. I'm not going overseas to talk about it. I'm not going anywhere else except here. And as we talk about events that have happened, one of the ones that we're doing, and the reason that I'm saying that we are doing, is because the month of February, I posted every day normally it's weekly. And believe me, that is a lot of work. Because not only do I do the research, but I write it. I have to research videos and books to include. And I do this because I don't want to just give you a spoonful of stuff. Because one of the problems that we have suffered through all these years is even knowing where to go to get information. And sometimes we're left out in the dark. I didn't realize for many years that anybody ever questioned the athletic prowess of black people. Find one of the sports that is practically dominated by black people. And to understand the history, they didn't put people out and teach them how to play the game. They just assumed. And when you assume, you make a donkey out of both of us, you and me. If you look at the word, you'll see that's what it says. That's kind of a cute explanation. And sometimes I disagree with those explanations. But what you have done by doing that is to show a lack of intelligence, a lack of understanding. And we have been faced with this all of our lives. In the case of Rosewood, an accusation in a different town. Rosewood was a town. It was a community. It was settled and established by mostly black people. But in a nearby town, a woman claimed to have been assaulted. And we know what that means. You are not supposed to touch or even look at that lady. There is a term that we often run into as black men. It's called reckless eyeballing. I refer to that when I look back at the movie An Officer and a Gentleman. I believe it was Lou Gossett that played the role in that movie. And he says, "You eyeballing me, boy?" And I think that that is one of the things that has gotten so many of us killed. I know that I'm far-fetched and I'm coming back. But many of the people could not stand you looking them in the eye. You were supposed to divert your eyes so that you couldn't see them. I think that there was a fear, and they didn't want you to see the fear in their face when you decided to stand up for your rights. When you decided to stand up for your rights and you are wrong, not in my book, folks, but we get ourselves in a situation where we're not always talking about facts. So we go back to Rosewood. The mere accusation of a black person assaulted, didn't say rape, but that's what people have come about. When we talk the term dog whistle, let's look at what we do. And again, I use a phrase here so that I can be clear. I apologize for using it because I think that it is a hate-filled term. They start off calling you the N-word, and then later they change it to something else. Let's take an example. We talk about a welfare queen, and what they are saying is, and how did this start? One person, and we still are not sure of the race of this person because they have done activities on both sides of what we call race. Both sides. How can we have sides? We are all human beings created by God. But we have now come to think that welfare is somehow bad. They call it an entitlement program. How is it entitled when I have been required to pay into it all of my working life? All of my working life. Yeah, I'm entitled to what I have paid for. It's not like they are giving me something that I didn't pay for. When I buy an insurance policy to cover my car, this is what I have done. I have paid on my health. I've paid on my Social Security. I have paid, and I think, therefore, the only way that I'm entitled is because I have been paying for this. But yet and still, they turned it around into something else. This is what I consider to be dog whistle politics. Dog whistle politics. And understand, folks, that if you pay for something, you deserve what you paid for. If I don't get it, then I think the government ought to shut down something or correct something or do whatever to make sure that I get what I'm entitled, just like they do when they are entitled. We sometimes paint lipstick on a pig and think that it turns it into some other animal, but it doesn't. We give out welfare in the millions of dollars every year in terms of what we give corporations, what we give large entities. Now, let me bring up another word before we go back to Rosewood. When we are paying for something, we're doing what we can. We understand. I hope that we are learning to understand or beginning to appreciate what has taken place. So in this incident in Rosewood, we had many people killed because of an accusation not that had any truth to it, but because the mere mention of a black person doing something that they weren't supposed to do. Now, we look at the other side of this. As I was watching TV early this morning, I don't know, 6 o'clock or whatever time Henry Louis Gates comes on North Carolina and South Carolina public TV. And we talked about one of our legislators, Jay Johnson, J.E.H. Johnson. And what we find out is that basically his ancestor owned the family. And that's the way it worked. You could father a child, but that child was not yours. You could be free and father a child, but that child belonged to the owner if the mother was enslaved. And in many cases, it did. Now, what's interesting in this particular case is that that ancestor had two families, one of which had two children. That was a white family. The black family had 10 children. 10. Now, here's a man that has pledged in front of God Almighty that he is going to be faithful to his wife. He has one wife. Is what we see a matter of being faithful to that woman? I don't think so. What we find that later in his life is that he leaves his white wife and takes up with his black companion, and that 10 children, 10 children, he leaves her. A census report shows he's living with this black woman. Now, to many people, that just stirs up their anger to nothing flat. I take a different opinion. What you do in your house is none of my business unless you're hurting somebody, harming somebody, or doing something else. That's what I take it. Now, we often don't look at the other part of that equation. Just as a white man can be attracted to a black woman, a white woman can be attracted to a black man. And that scares the bejesus out of most of those people. When I look at what happens during a lynching, now, understand what a lynching is. And in this section of this month, and if you click on the article, you will find a link to all what will ultimately be 28 posts. We see so many times that black men have been mutilated beyond belief. They've been set on fire while they're still alive. They've been riddled with hundreds of bullets. Now, let me bring up something else, because last week at a discussion where I talked about race, black history, we had a man that stood up and said the word picnic meant pick a N-word, and it does not. Because I did the etymology. I studied the words. I studied where they come from. And it's a term that precedes the use of that word that comes from the French. That's not what it said. But we see so many cases where lynchings, now understand that a lynching is denying a person a trial, even a kangaroo trial, and killing them on the mere accusation. Many people have died. Many people have died because of an accusation that they have done something. Is that what we stand for in America? I say no. So in Rosewood, just the mere accusation resulted in the death of many black people. Many black people because of this situation. And I want you to understand that it has taken over 100 years in this country, over 4,000 documented lynchings in a country where we say freedom and justice for all, and we stand there proud of ourselves for saying that when we don't mean it. How can you allow 4,000 people to be needlessly slaughtered without so much as a trial, without oftentimes the ability to even grunt or to face their accuser? And we're so proud of that, we don't want to talk about it. I see what's happening in Florida. I see what's happening with DeSantis, because parents are standing up and saying, I would rather be lied to than told the truth. I would rather go along with the mess that we're in than to take any step to understand it or to correct it. It's perfectly fine with me. That, in essence, is what they are saying. I'm saying those days should be over, my friend. They should be over. And we should find better ways. In Rosewood, again, people were killed, they were slaughtered, and all because of an accusation. This should not be who we are. We find that in many cases there are, in Rosewood, for example, there were up to 150 people killed because somebody made an accusation. It's not been proven. We say that you're innocent until proven guilty. And we leave out the rest of that sentence, of which most of us, by our actions or activities, support freedom and justice for all, except if you're black. A house divided against itself cannot stand. This is what we fought through in the Civil War. We fought through this. And the problem was Abraham Lincoln realized that we could not remain a single country with part slave, part free. They formed, the Confederates formed a separate country. We're told, because we don't study it, we don't mention it, we are afraid to face the truth, that it was war between the states. It was not a war between the states, because those people that seceded, 11 states seceded and became their own country. They had a president. They had a vice president. They had every office that America has. And yet they want to portray it as a war between the United States? No. It was a war between two warring countries. And many of the advances that were made under Lincoln, and let me tell you why Lincoln was killed, why he was assassinated. The 13th Amendment guaranteed us freedom, even though it is legal in this country to enslave people. Under the 13th Amendment, there is an exception to freedom. People who are incarcerated can be enslaved. And we see it all the time. We used to see it with the chain gangs. We see it with factories inside the prisons now. We have a system of private prisons where people build a prison and say, I will build it if you guarantee this number of people in there. What does that lead to? People being convicted of crimes in which they have not fully gone through the justice system. The justice system should be to find the truth, not to execute somebody. And so we see it once again in Rosewood. 150, we cannot continue to exist that way. But you don't want your son to understand that I have contributed to this country in so many ways. Because Junior might feel uncomfortable. How do you think I felt when I found out that through omission you had lied to me all of my life? And only wants to give me credit for being able to sing and dance and play sports. It hurt. It hurt me. And so what I have done is I have tried to correct that by letting everybody in on what has taken place. It is possible to find this information without a bunch of work. Sometimes it requires more work than others. That is because we have not taught our teachers so that they can teach others. I developed pride in my African ancestry. Immense pride in my African ancestry, because I know that we can invent things. Now, don't get me wrong. In Amazing Black History, we talk about inventions. We talk about things that have been done. Let me give you an example. Today, somebody mentioned Madam C.J. Walker, and she became immensely rich. But in doing so, she gave away tons of money for good causes. And that brings me to a person by the name of Viola Desmond. Most people have never heard of Viola Desmond, but she was the Canadian equivalent of Madam C.J. Walker. She did hair products. And one of the things that we overlook about Madam C.J. Walker is she didn't make just herself rich. She provided a route through which women and men could make money. And she shared that with people. That part of it is often left out. And we sometimes, because that is another message that keeps us from the truth. But Viola Desmond was delivering products. In those days, they didn't have FedEx. They didn't have UPS. And so she was delivering. Her car broke down. She was in a different town. And the parts that they needed to fix her car wouldn't be there until the next day. Viola Desmond, to entertain herself, went to a movie. And while they didn't have legal laws on the books or the customs, she asked for a seat down, which meant on the main level. They sold her a seat for up in the balcony. She couldn't see from up there. She said, please sell me a seat on the main floor. They didn't. She went on the main floor because that's what she was attempting to purchase. The result of that is she was roughed up by the police. Roughed up by the police. And ultimately charged with tax evasion. You, like me, when I first heard this, are probably scratching your head. How did they come up with this? Many times our justice system looks for the most severe things that people can be charged with. And in this case, it was a matter of one penny of tax between the up balcony seat and the down main floor seat. So for a penny, she was hauled into court and fined $26 for not paying this penny. Canada discovered what had happened. and gave her what's known as a free pardon. In this country, when a person is pardoned, basically they admit the crime and are forgiven and let out. A free pardon differs. Canada said, we never should have done this in the first place. And when they did that, Canada honored her. Honored her. How? If you get a Canadian $10 bill, you'll notice the picture of Viola Desmond on that $10 bill. People escaped America, and the common conception is they all went north into Canada. Not true. Not true. Mexico never supported slavery. Never. Many in the South have trails that we have uncovered that show that we went into Mexico. People think that we have never done anything. There are black towns, all black towns that were established so that we could have some freedom. We don't see about them because they are covered up. They destroy myths that we cannot lead ourselves, that we cannot determine a direction. Everything points away from it. And we don't have an educational system that says, yes, they can. And look at it. It damages our children. It damages other children. And right now, that's what DeSantis is doing, saying you have no history worthy of consideration. Your people, yeah, they're my people, I claim them all. Look at it from a standpoint that we have done great things. I love talking about what we have done. We look at how deep racism goes. When you look at a map that shows the city of Washington, D.C., for example, the nation's capital. Now, understand, we have done something to deny these people the right of representation. That's why we broke away from England, supposedly. The right of taxation without representation. When we look at the Senate, every state has two senators. We look at a state like Wyoming, which is primarily rural, out in the country, farming, agrarian economy. And obviously their politics, for lack of a better word, are going to be in one side or the other. I look at my adopted home state, Washington. The west side, Seattle, Tacoma, Olympia, all up and down that part of the state is Democratic. When you get over into the farming regions of eastern Washington, Republican. So it's understood that the interests are different. But what we need to do is find ways to come together on problems. And when I first moved out there, that's what I saw. People working on problems. Democrats and Republicans working on problems. But here we have allowed things to fester. And so we go back to Rosewood. How can you allow 150 of your citizens to be slaughtered? Slaughtered. And then have the unmitigated gall to be able to justify it. It's not possible. And so what we do is we basically defang ourselves. We have no defense. And as a result, we suffer. We oftentimes, and I'll mention Hamburg, South Carolina, we had black people there wanting to vote. And when they did so, there was a riot. I believe in excess of 100 people were killed trying to vote in this town. They brought cannons and shot their own courthouse. They put the guy into taking a burning rag or forced him to do it. And the building was on fire. As these people surrendered with a white flag, and just about everybody knows what that is, it's a flag of surrender. As people came out of the building, they were murdered. They were shot. If they weren't shot, they were hanged. All over an accusation. Now, at this point in time, a monument has been erected in Hamburg. Ah, a feeling of relief that these men are honored for what they did. But you'd be wrong. They did not honor those people that were willing to stand up for their rights. Well, who is the monument for? The three white men killed as they killed black people seeking to get what was owed to them. Is this what we're proud of? Are we so ashamed of that fact? Now, let me tell you this. I used to look at everything on the basis of black and white, black and white, no shades of gray, no nothing in there. And I could not understand for the life of me how white people could not see what they were doing. As in the case where we talked about the man having separate families, 10 children, black, 2 children, white, and ultimately left his white wife to live with his black family. And 10 children. And 10 children. This is not an isolated case. I just mentioned, or maybe I didn't, maybe it was earlier today at Traveler's Rest Missionary Baptist Church in Spartanburg, where I spoke this morning. Carolyn Randall Williams, soul. Who is she? She is the great-granddaughter of Edmund Pettus, whose bridge is what brought focus on civil rights. As they marched from Selma to Montgomery, I think it's a distance of about 150 miles, dogs were sicked on them. Water cannons were aimed at them. There was nothing subtle about the way that they interfered with blacks trying to get the right to vote, because we understood the power of representation. I met people today that are related directly and indirectly to Robert Smalls. Robert Smalls was a slave in South Carolina, and his owner sent him to Charleston, where they collected $15 a month for his labor. They were kinder than most. Listen to this now. They were kinder than most. And they gave Robert $1 of the $15. Robert is not a dumb individual. He purchased items with his $1 and would go to the docks and sell them, thereby showing his entrepreneurship. And I am so much in favor of entrepreneurship, because what we have done is we have trained ourselves that we can't do it. We can't set up businesses, and sometimes it's because of the hassle that we run into. But we can get around that by teaching each other what we've learned and go back to building our own Tulsa, building our own generational wealth, taking advantage of everything that is available to us as American citizens. I mentioned earlier and started talking about Abraham Lincoln. The 13th Amendment guaranteed us freedom, with that one exception. The 14th Amendment guaranteed us citizenship. Okay, so what about the 15th Amendment? What about the 15th Amendment? The 15th Amendment guaranteed us the right. Well, what did that have to do with Lincoln dying? John Wilkes Booth and people of his ilk said, Abe, you've gone too far. You cannot give them the right to vote, because then they have some control of this country. And we can't do that. We can't allow them to control anything. I say horse feathers. But this is what happened. They set in motion a plan to kill the president, the vice president, and the next person in the succession of presidency. The only one that was carried out was Abraham Lincoln's death. All because he signed a bill to give blacks the right to vote. And not only did Abraham Lincoln, but so many of our brothers and sisters die in this quest. Let me give you another example, and I hope that you're holding on at this point because this will absolutely blow your mind. It did mine too, and I had to read it again. And I started off not wanting to read things twice because I was supposedly and had built myself up to the point that all I need is one time. I got it like it's in a steel trap. And I found out that I forgot as much as anybody on the face of the earth does. But we take the case of Mary Turner. Mary Turner's husband was innocent, but he was caught up in a situation like Rosewood where they went around killing everybody, every black person around. Mary Turner stood up for herself, stood up for her husband, stood up for her race, stood up for her neighbors, which is a quality that we admire in America. What happened? She was lynched. She was hung upside down. She's 8 months pregnant. And for the fact of claiming that her husband was innocent and she was going to get into this matter, this is what they did to her. Not only did they hang her upside down, they covered her with oil and gas and set her on fire. 8 month pregnant woman. That you have a tough stomach, folks, because that isn't the end of it. They came up with a knife and split her abdomen open. And when the baby fell to the ground, it was stomped to death. An innocent life taken. The mob mentality has taken over. And yet and still, they want to jump up and down and yell and shout when a black neighborhood or any neighborhood is caught in the middle of the mob mentality. We look back at Rodney King, and we tell the whole story of Rodney King. We see him being beaten like a human pinata from these cops who are taking mighty swings at him as if the only way you can subdue a black man is to beat him to death. What history leaves out, and they do this time and time again. The community was beginning to roil, like boil. And this was caused because a 15-year-old girl, Latasha Hollings, I believe is her name. I may have butchered it up. But the point is, she went into a bodega to buy a bottle of orange juice. She purchased the orange juice and had $2 in her hand to pay for a $1.79 bottle of orange juice. And we get into a situation where all of the businesses, the bodegas, were owned by Koreans. And black people were thwarted every time they wanted to start something. What happened to this 15-year-old girl? The shopkeeper shot her point blank in the back of her head and killed her. Okay, so that's the end of the story. No, that's the beginning of the story. Because the judge that sentenced the shop owner to probation for killing a 15-year-old up-and-rising black girl just months before had sentenced a man for kicking a dog to 6 months in prison. A dog's life is worth more than a human life? Not in my book, it ain't. Not in my book. But that's part of the story that they do not tell us. History can leave out important facts. And by doing so and not having anything positive, it makes us look like a fool. But that's manipulated. Because for every incident like that, I can point to something that you will take pride in. pride in. As a kid, I didn't understand. I understood on a child's level. Amos and Andy was a popular show because it showed black people. We wanted to see black people. Every week, Jet Magazine, a magazine small enough you could put in your back pocket, would come out, and many of us would turn to the back page first. Why? Because it listed every black person that was going to be on TV that week. So few. Those people that were doing great things were never, never, ever mentioned. Never. We didn't have access to that. As a result, you come out and you begin to be ashamed of who you are because you've never been told who you are. When we came to these shores, South Carolina became rich because of white gold, rice. Didn't come from the Orient. It came from Africa. People were brought over from Sierra Leone because it was hard work, and black people had the knowledge to do it. Made South Carolina rich. When we look at the economy of America, who knew that when the Civil War broke out and we had 11 states secede from the Union, that New York State seriously considered seceding as well? Why? Because most of the wealth in the economy of New York was based on the Southern slave. Cotton was produced and shipped around the world, much of it going out of New York. We find that financial institutions like insurance companies and banks made tons of money. The shipbuilding industry in New England was fueled because they wanted to build their own ships so that we could go to Africa and get people. Now, we sometimes, because we have never been told, think that the only people brought over were us in America. Honor to a guy named Christopher Columbus. Realizing that Christopher Columbus never set foot in North America, never set foot in North America. And it just makes me angry that we now call an entire race of people Indians because one white man got lost and didn't know where he was. And so we name everybody Indian, Indian, Indian. When Christopher Columbus came here, this was not an unoccupied land. There were 15 million people living in the Americas. 15 million just sitting around waiting to be discovered? No. They had their own civilization. They knew how to manage forest fires. They knew how to grow corn. They knew how to grow crops. Many, if we look at the origin of many crops, our okra, our peanuts. Let me mention this. We have black history. And when I came along, the only person I heard about was George Washington Carver. And what do we attribute to him? Making peanut butter. Wrong. He did not make peanut butter. Peanut butter was indigenous. It was here before Carver was even born. And what we find is that we don't know the history of him. Many times it's because the people that are teaching us did not know. George Washington Carver was stolen as an infant because they kidnapped his mother, his brother, and him. And he was sickly all of his life. And as a result, to them, he was just money. So they left him alongside of the road. His owner had hired somebody to find them. They brought them back to him. And these people raised him as if he were their son. But we find that it was so difficult to get an education that Carver had to attend a school 10 miles away, which meant that he had to walk or he had to board. He did his work so well that he earned a scholarship. Hooray for George! Hooray for George! He went to Highland College And they say, yeah, we gave you a scholarship, but we didn't know you were black. One of the reasons that I did not come back to my hometown and live after I got my degree in chemistry goes back to Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow who? Woodrow Wilson, a president of the United States. Well, what did he have to do with it? Woodrow Wilson was a Southerner. Now, don't get me wrong, because I am not against all Southerners. I am not against all white people, and I'll explain that to you in a minute. Woodrow Wilson, as president of the United States, found a government that was integrated. People, because of their dedication to the job, because of their understanding, because of their skills, in many cases had been promoted to supervisors and other high positions. Woodrow Wilson said, ain't going to happen in my administration. He fired them. There may have been a few that escaped by being demoted. Not only did he fire them, he put petitions so that blacks and whites were not even in the same room. He separated the toilets, not only male and female, but black and white. This is what Woodrow Wilson did. And what directly affected me, those of you that are old enough remember that when you applied for a job, you had to attach a photo. What was that for? So that they could know and throw away the ones that had black faces on them and deny us jobs. It wasn't based on qualification. It wasn't based on your experience. It wasn't based on any material fact except to hold a people down. I sent out applications. Here I am. I'm a degree in chemistry. And I went to every chemical outfit that I knew. And none of them even gave me the courtesy of a reply. None of them. Because of the racist policies instituted by this man. I went out and I worked in national security because I was separating plutonium from uranium. We were using this to build our nuclear weapons. So I was in a much more responsible position. And I want to tell you this as well. I graduated from a small church-supported school in North Carolina. I went to Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina. And I came out and I found myself competing with people from the university of this state, the university of that state, very prestigious institutions. And it called me to check myself. Can I compete against them? Here I am wondering, and I find out not only could I compete, but I could beat. There were laws in this country that prevented competitions of any type between blacks and whites. A couple of years ago, we had a black person win the Scripps Spelling Bee. And so there was a big deal made of this. But I want to take us back to 1908, I believe was the correct year. We had a black team that won and almost got the superintendent of New Orleans schools fired. Why? To even compete against black folks was disgraceful. There were laws on the books in this country that said that a black and a white could not compete in any competitive activity. Sitting down to a game of checkers was illegal. And you think that's because the white person was always going to beat the black man? No. They made it illegal because of the competition. Benjamin Franklin, for the okey-doke, he understood that, or his understanding and belief was that black people couldn't do what white people could do. That was one of our founding fathers, and by far not the only one. Benjamin Franklin changed his attitude. His wife worked at a school dedicated to educating black people. She encouraged him to come visit. He did. He came away after seeing these people in action and being told that we didn't have intelligence. And sometimes we confuse intelligence with degrees. Intelligence is being able to use the knowledge that you have to work towards solutions. I support higher education, but it is not essential. Don't look at yourself only by the letters that you have behind your name. Do not, because I've seen that game lost so many times. Benjamin Franklin, on seeing the performance of these black students, came away convinced that black people were as capable or more capable than white people. Do we hear about that? No, because that puts us in a different light. Now, to those of you that are listening that may have comments, may have questions, may have suggestions, I'm going to give you that number again, because it's 646-668-8217. Keep that handy. Put it in your phone, because if you're away from your device, you can always get us at 4 o'clock on Sunday on this program. And I want to talk about subjects that are of interest to you. And I want this to be a mature conversation. Yes, you can agree with me. Last week, this guy stood up and just absolutely was beside himself, because although we had gotten two black quarterbacks, now let me give you a little bit of background into that. It used to be the best athletes that we had who were in the quarterback position, when they went to the NFL, would find themselves as a wide receiver or something else. The reason? Black people can't think fast enough or deep enough to run the game. Besides, no white player will accept instruction, orders, plays delivered by a black person. This was the common belief. And so I think we've made progress. Or do we have black owners? No. Will we have black owners? I think so. Is it coming fast enough? Not for me, but I don't have the money to be even in consideration for saying anything in this. But we do have people right now who can come together, develop a plan, an entrepreneurship plan, and be in position to buy a team. What are you going to do? We need to do whatever we need to do. That's a difference of opinion. I was actually glad that he brought that up, because it gave me a chance to talk about that particular subject. Yes, we're making progress, but not fast enough. I want the same thing that Martin Luther King did, for people to look at the content and character of me, my children, my relatives, anybody that looks like me. Even if you don't look like me, I want the same thing for you that I want for myself and everybody else. And it's called an equal opportunity. We spend a lot of time on Rosewood, but I have to be very careful, and this may be one of your suggestions or comments. Don't talk so long about a single subject. But it made an impression on me. How extremes that we go to and make sure that we are in an unfavorable light. I may have talked about this, but in Hamburg, where we had over 100 people killed, and they finally erected a monument, not to those people killed fighting for the American rights and privileges that they were entitled to, but the three white men who died killing the black people. To me, something is wrong with that picture. Wrong with that picture. We see ourselves put down in every manner that we can think of. Every manner. Now, let me go back to Robert Smalls to show you a contrast. Smalls, a slave, worked on a ship called the Planter, which was a warship. They did not believe that Robert Smalls, no matter how intelligent, could operate that ship. But he had a plan. In the middle of the night, he and all of the black members gathered their families and anybody that they could trust and told them of a plan. They left harbor, and it was very difficult to get out because there were checkpoints and counter measures to keep anybody from just taking the ship and sailing out of the harbor. He donned the captain's hat and coat and perfectly maneuvered the boat, gave the sound, waited for the return, moved to the next place, gave the sound, waited for the return, and moved on. When the Confederates learned that they had been bamboozled, that they had been tricked, that they had allowed somebody to take their ship out, they were outside of cannon range. They put up a white flag. They didn't have a white flag. They had a white sheet. And in the early morning, it was not seen until almost too late. And Smalls, from South Carolina, those of you that may be in the Spartanburg, Greenville area may know Reverend J. Massey. They're related to him. Michael Boulware, Michael Boulware Moore, who is instrumental in getting the International African American Museum in Charleston, South Carolina, operating, is a great-great-grandson of his. We have greatness within us. We don't share the information. It's withheld from us. So we have to have ways of communicating this. And this is what I'm dedicated to, my friends. We've got a few minutes left, and I'll be opening the microphones very shortly. Wanting to hear from you. That number again is 646-668-8217. I do want to hear from you. I want to know what your thinking is. I want to know what you're concerned about. This is not a one-way communication. I do want to hear from you. I want to make sure that we are on the same page. When you develop an interest, there's nothing that can stop you. Nothing. I think about a surgery I had many years ago. I had cataract surgery. And I think Ruth Bath, the black female doctor who developed the procedure that we now use. What did we have before that? It was an intricate surgery, cutting the eye. And people had to be down for long periods of time before they could get back up. A black woman. When I went to speak at Traveler's Rest Missionary Baptist Church today, I used GPS. GPS was developed by Dr. Gladys West, a black woman. Next month, March, we will post every day 31 black women that we should all know. All know. And I think as you read the stories about these amazing women, that you can't help but understand how they can motivate people. The stories of the women don't only motivate women, they motivate men as well. They should be able to motivate blacks, whites, Asians, Native Americans, anything that you can think of. Should be able to pick up the point that we are going to face obstacles, that it is going to be a difficult road, but it is a road worth traveling. And you're looking for your goal, not what I set or anything else. You may come up with a cookie recipe that sets the world on fire. And with that, you may be able to fulfill your dreams. You may be able to find out that You can drop $1 million here or there in the name of something that you believe in. I'm not going to tell you that you have to do this, but I think that it is something that we should look forward to. Now, the work that goes into this program, into Amazing Black History, is done by one person, and that's me, one person. I find out that I had been making a very, very bad decision. And what was that decision that was so wrong? I thought everything that I put out had to be perfect, but I found there's something more important than being perfect, and that's being done. I can go back and change it. Do I wish that it was perfect when it went out? Yes. But if I were trying to do that, I would never have put out my first post. I want you to understand that we are human. We make mistakes. Direction or success is a direction, not a speed. Success is a direction, not a speed. And as long as we're making progress there, we can and will survive. We can and will survive, my friends. We have things that we have been given because we have been created by the same God that created everybody else. And he has given us everything that we need. And what we have to do is believe in ourselves. Believe that this God was not a trickster. He gave us what we need. The decision to pursue your dream is one that we have. We're not like a bunch of sheep. We can make decisions. I can make decisions right now. Some of the decisions that I can make are stupid. I'll admit it. But fortunately, he guides me. He's with me. And I can't thoroughly eliminate stupid moves. But I can always talk to him. So I've opened the mic. I think I hear my friend Marshall James there in the background. We do have someone else that's on. Again, that number is 646-668-8217. Would love to hear from you. Marshall, you have comments?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today, Mr. Abercrombie?
Good. And I saw you early this morning at 5 o'clock.
Yes, yes. Enjoyed you so very much, and I think everybody enjoyed your speech. And one lady told me, said, what I fell short to do would bring me a pad and a pencil, because that man gave us so much information. Lord knows I couldn't keep up with all of that. And I really would have liked to have a pad so I could put down something. I said, yes, Mr. Abercrombie is full of good information, and that is for sure. Yes,
I'm
going
to have to give you some of my cards so you can give people. So that they can join us, because I absolutely love talking to people. I love the response. And you don't have to agree with me for you to feel that way. I just like to open the channels of communication. And I appreciate being there. I appreciate the pastor, wonderful music this morning, wonderful members, very warm, open church. And, you know, hopefully we'll be there again.
Yes,
so,
that is why you were back this time, because I think it was 2016 when you were there before, and somebody asked about you. I said, well, that ain't no problem. We certainly can get him back, get you back. And so it was kind of a request that you come back. And we appreciate you and appreciate your gifts, the God-given gifts of you of thinking, for one thing, and your knowledge. And how well you teach us and inspire us and have us ready for the future ahead of us. That is what you do in preparing us for the future, because some of the things that you were talking about, we need to know about. If we don't, you know, if you don't know about it, then it just blows right over your head and you don't even know.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Because I was out one of the dumbest people around, thought that because I had a degree and some initials behind my name that I knew it all. But I was embarrassed.
Yes.
Embarrassed to find out that I did not know. And we talk about roots. You know, the giant sequoias and redwoods that I stood Hmong in Northern California are magnificent, but they are only able to stand because they have roots. That means that it goes down, and they understood what their purpose was. And we need to do the same thing because we have roots, not only in our own family, but in our neighborhoods, in our cluster, in our just being. We come together. And so I appreciate every opportunity to speak before groups. I love, and I had a person talk to me about this today, let's do something with our children. And
yes.
I'd love to.
Yes.
I'd love to.
Yes.
Now, we have another caller on. I don't know if that person has any comments, questions, suggestions. But if you do, your number starts with an 864. You can go ahead. It's not mandatory. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
My name is Anthony O'Neill. I was at Travelers Rest this morning. I was glad that my son missed the service, but I was glad that you touched on some of the same points that I was speaking to him about, that I was letting him know that you had taught us. So, you know, he was able to hear it on this broadcast right here. So I just appreciate all the information. I mean, I'm pretty excited to know so many people from South Carolina that have impacted so many different things throughout time and history. And, you know, we just appreciate you putting that out there. We'll spread it as best we can.
Okay. Now, just as you heard me say, I was going to give Marshall some cards. I'll ask him to give you some so that we can do that. Because my mission is not to do anything except get the word out of who we are, made by God, not on the second production line, but on the same production line as everybody else. We brought things to the dance, and we deserve to have them recognized. If not for tooting our own horn, but so that people recognize what we have done. We have built this country. Over half of the wealth of this country is gained by the backs of slaves who were given nothing, absolutely nothing.
That's right.
But we have persisted, and we have greatness within us. We just need to understand and value ourselves. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you calling in, even after hearing me ramble on and on this morning. And I love it. I love it. And I want you to come back. Feel free. Feel like you're at home. Take your shoes off. Ask questions if you have. Make comments so that we can make the program better. But let's encourage our children to listen as well, our neighbors. It's only when the force of overcoming years of people working to make sure that we didn't know what we are. But as God's children, God sent us here to do our best, and I appreciate it. You don't know how much I love you listening.
Yes, and Mr. Abercrombie, one thing I would like to throw out there for you is, I don't know why it is when we as African Americans, some of us, if you really want to get something up, ask people about who do they say they are. Do they say they're black, African American, Negro, whatever, or American? If you really want to get something stirred up, you just ask some people that, and they really get offended. And why that, I just cannot understand. I just don't understand it. If you don't know who you really is, maybe you need to take some lesson. Maybe you need to listen to who you really are. Because you can be whatever you think you are, but that really don't make you be who you are. Because some people, we just don't understand and don't know who we are. And one other thing is of Africa. If you would sometime straighten us out and just talk about Africa, because when we think of Africa, most of us do not understand the continental Africa. You can set America in it seven times in Africa. Do not understand that there's more things in Africa than a monkey and an elephant and Tarzan in a jungle. Most of us has been put in our minds all our lives, and we don't know no better, and that's all we think. And I think that would be great at some point in time. You could do that or get someone to do it for you, one, whichever. Yes. Just speak on Africa.
Now, I'm planning on doing that. Now, we hear the town of Timbuktu, funny-sounding name, but most of us aren't aware of what happened there. It was a city on a trading route as they took salt from one part, gold from another. Those people were rich. That was a town of over 10,000 people. And if you think that you can run a town that size without all sorts of major difficulties, you're wrong. But we had it controlled. And of those 10,000 people, at least 25% of them were teachers or scholars. Teachers or scholars. And this is where people went. People, Europeans, Greeks, Romans, sent their children to Africa to learn to study. And yet we persist in thinking that we can't do it. One of the things that I want to talk about is the fact that when I mentioned the calendar, changing to the calendar and everybody panicking in 2012, those people that we have been of African descent used a vagismal math system. Now, what do I mean by vagismal? We use a base of 10. They use a base of 20. And then I'll go back. Now, most of these systems developed 3,000-4,000 years ago. But when we go back and talk about the Ishango bone, that was a counting device, and it comes back from 18,000 to 20,000 years ago, Europeans were hiding in caves at that time. When we talk about people like Onesimus described to Cotton Mather vaccination, and this was in the 1700s, and they did this, and people had been dying at a rate of 15% to 30% of all the people that caught smallpox. When they used the method of vaccination, crude though it may have been, the rate was 2%, And one of the things that happened in that is Benjamin Franklin was so sorry that he did not have his four-year-old son vaccinated, who ultimately died from the disease. The same Benjamin Franklin who saw black people performing and said they can do every bit as good as any other student he has ever seen. And we don't know that? Something's wrong with this picture. And we need to... Those of us that understand it, that have picked up the mantle, need to use it. We need to use it like, I forget the man's name in the Bible that used the jawbone of an ass to fight his way out of a different situation. We need to do that. We need to have that same fervor in making sure that, one, we get our house in order and we get others in order. Hiding. Like DeSantis, who doesn't even want that we could have done anything worth talking about, is a fool. And we need to recognize that. I feel guilty for white people who think that they bear all of the responsibility of slavery. And let me tell you, even in the South, those people getting rich, super rich, at the most were 2%. The highest concentration of slave owners was 6%, and yet we have people that don't want to talk about it because they may have come from the 90-plus percent group. People took their lives in their own hands when they helped slaves escape. We passed laws that said a person escapes. I don't care if you believe in slavery or not. You better help us catch it. That is a country telling all of its citizens that profit comes before human life. profit comes before human life. Is that what you want to be proud of? Or do you want to be the person that fights for yourself and for your fellow man? Now, I hope that both of you are back next week. We're running a bit short of time, but I'll make sure that you have some cards and you can share them with that gentleman and others, because I love it.
Like, I know how to find them.
when people understand and are willing to work for their own behalf. God didn't put us here to hide our light under a barrel. He did not put us here to hide our light under a barrel. And we got a bunch of light, folks. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Any other comments?
I guess not. Okay. Thank you so much. We'll be having our anniversary, our 79th anniversary over at Living Waters on next Sunday. So I'll probably miss you next Sunday.
Okay. But I know that your heart and your spirit are with us, and we'll get this message out. Everybody that's listening, invite somebody to join us next week, whether you use the link or whether you use the call-in. Any other closing arguments, closing statements, or closing comments, be what they may. And to the young man that I missed the name that was at Traveler's Rest this morning, God bless you, my friend. I love
God bless you as well. I'm Anthony.
Anthony, okay. We will meet sometime face-to-face, and I hope that it's not very long from now. And I appreciate
you
more than
later, my friend.
Thank you. Okay. I appreciate it. We will close this session, and I hope to see you next Sunday at 4 p.m. as we continue our discussions. Go to AmazingBlackHistory.com. We have over 300 posts, and we want to be your source of information. And we can only do that, your help, your needs. And I really appreciated this morning when we talked about our local heroes, our local people. That makes me feel so good that it's hard for me to contain myself sometimes, because we often overlook the people in our neighborhoods who have given so much of themselves and given it for mankind, not their own forest. And so with these last 90 seconds that I have, I hear the woman in my ear telling me that. Be blessed, my brothers and sisters. Be blessed. And
thank you much. Have a good day.
That God
later.
Loves you. Later. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.